If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
I think people are way too afraid to ask questions, and they're way too afraid or intimidated to reach out to people.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dean Markey, through his company, Grand Street Development, is both a developer and investor focused primarily on multifamily rentals. Dean has been called a shaper of Brooklyn's new century, and GSD won Brooklyn Building of the Year in 2018. GSD has properties in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and is actively expanding its efforts both locally and nationally. Hey, Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's an honor to get to interview someone like yourself who has done so much in real estate. So coming from this side of the table, it's kind of hard to know even necessarily where to begin this conversation. But I guess maybe if you can give me and the listeners some idea of where you started in real estate, where you are now, and how you got there, that would just make my day.
Okay, you got it. So I kind of grew up around the business. My family started in the restaurant business, but my grandfather was smart enough to acquire a piece of real estate. And I always thought I would either be in the restaurant business or in the real estate business. Actually started following the restaurant path initially. And so fairly late, actually, in my life, I came around to the real estate side. I just, at some point, made a determination that I had kind of missed my real calling in going restaurant initially. I remember very distinctly being in Manhattan one day and standing in Bryant Park looking at a building called the Grace Building. And if you can imagine this sort of giant skyscraper that sort of curves up from the street, and it's got this name Grace across the front of it. And I thought to myself, man, if one day I could put up a building like that, would be not like that. That thing's insane, but you know, just do something. And then I, you know, quite frankly, promptly forgot about that and went into the restaurant business. So when I say I came back to that original passion, I often wonder how I didn't do it out of the gate. But if I have a regret, it's, you know, having sort of detoured. But anyway, to get more to the point, I grew up in New Jersey, hit the ground, you know, just trying to learn everything that I could. I have no formal training in real estate. Didn't go to college for it. I went and got a business, you know, education, but nothing in real estate. And learned everything, really, truthfully, on my own by reading books. I'm old enough that there was no such thing as a podcast. So otherwise, I'd probably listen to you. I read every book that I could find, and I talked to anybody who would listen to me, and I was absolutely shameless about asking questions. If there's one bit of advice I would tell you, honestly, I think people are way too afraid to ask questions, and they're way too afraid or intimidated to reach out to people. So I'm going to tell you a quick story. But anyway, the first deal I bought, I searched probably LoopNet, you know, even newspapers, every broker in the state. I looked at hundreds of deals, and I came across one that was the worst building on the best block. Pretty basic advice. I'm going to tell you about the size of it in a moment. But what I realized now, there was a bit of a cap rate arbitrage. Every surrounding town was trading, this was around 2005-ish, six, was trading at around a 7 cap. And I bought this one at a 9 cap. And my thinking was, you know, that people would sort of, you know, close that cap rate gap, and that might drive the value up. But I was very particular, and I think this is one of the most important decisions I made, that I had to get this first deal right, because I was with friends and family. They trusted me. They knew I didn't really know all that much about it, but I figured if I got this one right, they would tell others and they would back me in the next. But if I messed it up, my dream died.
Right.
And so I really felt a lot of pressure to make sure I got it right. So, you know, the cap rate arbitrage, worst building on the best block, heavy value add, 25 units. One unit was down offline. It had a fire, never been repaired. The other 24 units were a mess. The building was in a really state of real disrepair. But I really worked hard to get the best people around me that I could. So I had a really good lawyer, a good property manager. I spent a lot of time at the property, improved it. And here's where it gets interesting. Within 6 months, I got a phone call, unsolicited phone call from somebody I'd never met, said, asked me if I would sell the building.
Sure.
And I said, you know, like everybody, you know, the right price.
Sure.
I don't know. I didn't know what else to say. Fast forward a week or two, she gives me an offer for 71% more than I had paid for it. 71%.
Including CapEx?
Including everything. Okay.
Wow.
I at that point I had only spent a few bucks. I mean, I had, you know, it only been 6 months. It wasn't exactly, you know, but yes, it was. The bad news is that deal fell apart. I ended up selling it though for 65% more than we had bought it for, and ended up taking a little over a year, which was fine. But, you know, in one brief moment, I thought, you know, I had a lot of thoughts. One, I thought I was a genius. I realized after I wasn't, and I'll tell you why. Right. And then, you know, I also took away some pretty good lesson. But obviously, I probably sold it at literally like almost the peak value right before the Great Recession set in. And I'm sorry to tell you that the guys who bought it from me gave it back to the bank. I tried to buy it back at the same price that I had bought it for originally, and ended up not, you know, really, you know, sort of fighting for it. But anyway, I didn't win it. And that was the first deal. Today, the biggest deal we bought is probably a development site for almost 500 apartments. So I do development and you know, as you know, acquisition. We bought 188 unit deal. We built a 71 unit project. It was almost it's valued today, I'd say north of $60 million. We built a 52 unit project in Brooklyn as well. So, and you know, we're growing from there. It's basically, we went from sort of there to here. A little more than a decade it took to get there though.
Right. And there's so many questions, so many different ways we could take this conversation. I'm not even sure which way to go with it, you know, because there was a lot of steps in there between one unit or one building. We made money on it, and now we're just doing humongous things. So what are some simple things, you know, that you could say, maybe even to me or to the listeners, that says, hey guys, this is something simple you can do right now if you own a building or if you own a single family house or even a, you know, 25 units, and I want to grow. What do you tell us to go do?
I mean, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to be educated. I think you got, you know, look, I'm telling you, I taught myself, so I'm not saying that you got to be a brain surgeon, and clearly you're not going to know every challenge up front, but you've got to be networked. You got to have people that you can go to when the question comes up that you don't have the answer to. I do think you got to, I don't want to call it networking because it sounds more purposeful. And that's not what I did. In other words, I never attended real estate events. It's not that I'm against it. I just never did it. I didn't actually, truthfully, I didn't know that they existed back then. And in any event, I missed it. But I will say one of the things that I did, and you're right, there was a big gap there. I had, during the Great Recession, I went into brokerage. And that was probably, I would tell you, that would probably be the single best bit of advice. I'm not sure everybody wants to do that.
Sure.
But what it did was it opened up my network to every, you know, attorney, to appraisers, to, you know, environmental, you know, guys, and all the brokerage communities, the lenders, you know, I started to get to know everybody. And of course, built out my network of people, investors. And so maybe another good point that I think was really instrumental in getting me to where I am is I've done a lot of joint ventures. So the first deal was not, but these other ones, I've partnered with people who have either big bank accounts, you know, I mean, to do these $50 million deal, especially a development deal, you've got to have big money in order to get a loan. And so, you know, whether it's that or joint venture with operators, you know, who have more experience in a particular property type. I was on the phone this morning with a group that we're going to partner on a project where I'm putting some of the pieces together and they're bringing some skills that I don't have or I'm not inclined to spend time on. I think those are sort of, you know, that's a short list of some of the things that I would do. But, you know, network, joint venture, be willing to take a very small piece of a deal to trade off for experience. That's a huge one, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can get yourself into a 150 unit deal. The next time you do a deal, now, you know, you can represent yourself as having done a 150 unit deal. That's
right.
A big jump, right? So maybe you only own a small piece of it, but you have that experience.
Right. That's an incredibly valuable point. Are you guys, and I'm going to take a left turn here because I'm just super curious.
Are you guys buying, like, are you going out and finding the land, putting the plans together, getting all the permits, approvals, and then building it? Or are you buying pre-approved sites that somebody's come to you and said, hey, you know, this is ready to go. Do you want to build this?
So we have a very particular approach on development. It's a very, very specific style. In fact, that's an image behind me is of one of the buildings that I put up. It's we build buildings that look like converted warehouses.
Yeah, that's
like
a beautiful building.
Brand new. Thank you. This one actually won Brooklyn Building of the Year.
So, wow! Congratulations.
There's no humility in that. I'm really proud of that.
You should be. You absolutely should be.
We will go and get all the approvals, permits, do the design, do the actual development. We do the lease up. We do the management. The whole soup to nuts on the development. On acquisition, obviously it's a different story, but on development, yeah, we're not buying other people's plans. We're very, very particular.
Right. And it sounds like you got to learn all of these things, all the kinds of ins and outs of this on somebody else's dime when you went in as a broker.
Yes, it was a very important piece of the puzzle for me. But I would also tell you that one of the things that helped me, and I would really tell everybody that to be encouraged by the fact that I don't have an education, mm-hmm. or particularly if you don't have a formal education. I don't mean you, I mean anybody, you know, watching, listening, but in general, it has allowed me the freedom to think differently. Mm-hmm. And I was counseled by all the quote unquote smart people not to do the kind of building that I just told you about that won an award, right? I can't tell you how many times people told me not to do the things that I do instinctively. But I did have the courage of my conviction, and I was extremely lucky to have people who believed in me. Mm. But when I believe in something, I have extreme passion about it.
Sure.
And am relentless about achieving it. And I don't know, it doesn't always work, but I will go to my grave trying. I mean, I just give it everything. Yeah, you just got to be willing to do that.
Right. And it sounds like one of my typical questions is, was there bad advice or is there bad advice that you've received along the way? And it sounds like maybe your answer to that would be that people tried to talk you out of the visions and dreams you had.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I think this is an industry that is unfortunately made up of reactions. And it's not just particular to real estate, but people typically do what everybody else did. So, you know, if I'm a developer, you look at a building and you go, well, that one's nice. You go to the architect, you say, do something like that. And, you know, or whatever. Or if no one's buying today, then you go, well, I shouldn't be buying. Well, I don't think like that. I mean, I think like totally differently, like literally the opposite. And that's because I'm not smart enough to know why they're right. And it's only because of that, because I don't know any better, that I've probably been successful.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So basically you look where everyone else is going and do the opposite of it.
Unintentionally. That is literally how I think. It is right. Intentional.
It is intentional.
It is 100%.
That's awesome.
I zig when others are zagging. You know, I'm going to screw this up.
Sure, go for it.
But Warren Buffett said something like, you know, you should buy when everybody is pessimistic and you should sell when everybody's optimistic.
Right.
That's, you know, probably pretty good life advice, right?
And right.
A guy who knows how to make a buck. So
that's fantastic. So with that vein or with that kind of thought, I mean, I can't help but ask 2020, like,
yeah.
I don't know what the world doesn't know what the world's doing. So what is Dean doing? I guess let's find out.
You know, it sounds crazy, but I mean, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I tell you, if anybody's listening, if you call me, if you talk to me, I tell you straight to everybody, I love this environment. I feel better today than I did 2-3 years ago. It feels like right to me in my mind that things are a little crazy. I like the fact that most people are on the sidelines. It's allowing me to find deals at prices that I know are extraordinary. They're brief, and that in 3 to 5 years, when I tell people what I paid for the buildings we're trying to buy today, they're going to go, holy cow, and maybe even more emphatically,
right.
I can't believe it.
Right.
And it's because I've seen this movie before. I lived through the Great Recession. I know how these things go, and there's absolutely no doubt in my mind. I would only tell you this. There's every time there's a crisis, the cause is unique. Mm-hmm. The result, the end of the crisis is always the same. There's always a recovery. It always recovers. The only question is how long does it take?
Right.
So today, my advice would be buy everything you can, good real estate that you can at a discount. Make sure you have enough cash to weather the storm, because I may be wrong. It may not be 2 years. It may not be 3 years. It might be five. And if you run out of cash, if I think, you know, if I'm talking about New York City, if I think in 2 years we'll have a normalized real estate market and I'm wrong and I can't pay my mortgage, we're in big trouble. So we're not making any bold assumptions. We're very basic. I mean, ultimately, I do my underwriting, you know, with analysts on spreadsheets, but the first round of underwriting on anything I've ever bought is on a single piece of paper, not two pieces. I'm telling you, if I can't make it work on a single piece of paper, I don't want to put it in a spreadsheet, because I'm telling you, I can make every deal look good in a spreadsheet.
Right.
So I don't fall victim to trying to convince myself to buy something. So yeah, that's where I'm at today. I'm in a good place and I'm ready to buy.
Dean, you've given us so many tools that I think we can employ right away in our life as far as investors go. You know, and I can stay on the phone for probably an hour with you. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I have the final four questions for you. And I think you may have given these answers, but we'll go ahead and hit them again in case your answer changes slightly. If you were to distill everything you know and had to give only one piece of advice for an aspiring investor, what would it be?
Get educated. That's what I would do, is learn everything that you can about your business. Make sure you're focused. You got a business plan and a strategy. Don't just sort of wander around and just go, oh, I want to, you know, that one looks good. Have a plan, be focused, be disciplined in your execution. Make sure you do your first deal right. Don't be greedy and realize it's going to take time. And I say don't be greedy, I mean, like, you may have to JV, you may have to partner with people, but it's going to take time. It's the only thing I can say that I don't love about this industry is it takes time.
Right. Yeah. And everyone assumes it's an overnight success. We're like, oh, look at this guy. He now owns, you know, $1 billion and such and such. You're like, yeah, that was a lot of work. So investing in yourself. And I think this is the answer.
Yes.
Again, what's one thing that you do personally to stay on top of your game?
I do. I mean, I listen to guys like you all the time. I probably got three or four books going on real estate all the time. They don't write enough for me to read. Like, there's literally, wow. I read everything.
That's awesome.
I listen, I go to all the events, I listen in, I just try to be around smarter people, try to, you know, be super aware of what's going on in the markets that I'm playing in. So, you know, we're creating value everywhere we can and making sure that we're in front of any surprises.
Right. That's fantastic. Investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, I'd like to say that I was doing more, but I did, you know, we do try to have an affordable component to all of our projects. I think quite a lot about that. And I think it's super important as far as the industry is concerned to think about affordability. I don't, you know, where I'm in New York City, where we have, you know, a significant issue there. I think a healthy city is a city that has a diverse group of people. So that's an important part of what I do, is to make sure we have affordability. I think, you know, working with a friend of mine who's focused on creating more diversity in the industry. So we certainly need more of that. I mean, not everybody in this industry should look like me and you. There has to be more diversity, and it's healthy for our industry. And on a personal basis, fortunately, my parents are both alive and I have the greatest parents in the world, but my dad worked like an animal and I never saw him. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a house of basically just women. And so for me, the charities or, you know, organizations that are particularly focused on helping women and children, those are the ones that get my attention and help. So,
man,
I hope that does something. What can I say? Oh,
absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. Dean, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
I'm happy to talk to anybody. If I can be helpful to somebody, you can reach me on my website. It's grandstreetdevelopment.com.
Awesome.
Maybe you can post it, but by all means, I'm happy to be in touch with anybody who needs some help.
Yeah, that'll definitely be in the show notes. So, Dean, thanks so much for coming on. It was awesome to interview you. You've been a great guest, and we've learned so much today. So thanks again for your time. Do appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.